Good morning, everybody, and praise that wonderful name of Jesus. Welcome to A Cup with Pastor, a podcast that the Lord has put into my spirit to continue with. And I got to say, this morning has been very challenging with technical issues. I think the website was having some issues that I use, and I guess the internet connection was also having issues. So it's been a while, a few Saturdays since we've been able to chat and I've been able to go over the podcast, but I praise God because no matter what, we're going to continue to do this. Yeah. We're going to continue to bombard the gates of heaven with, fellowship, with a good conversation that is surrounded with the Bible, the Word of God, and of course, good people and a cup of coffee, so I want you to know that we haven't been on live for a while. We've had some outside circumstances that have happened that we've had to attend and we've had to be a part of, my wife and I. And so, if you're asking and wondering why there has been such a delay between the episodes that we've had, it's because there's been a lot going on. I haven't been able to dedicate a true Saturday. And this Saturday, I want to, let you know that I have a special guest that I'll be introducing here shortly. That's going to be helping us. But God bless all of you for, just for your faithfulness, for your due diligence. I appreciate the Lujanos as well. They were reaching out to me like, hey, I don't see the feed. What's going on? We love and appreciate them. To my church, Jubilee Ministries, I love all of y'all. Thank you for supporting this work that God has placed inside of us, to continue doing. And again, this is all about just drinking some coffee. I got my y'all Paladudo Canyon, Paladudo. I'll say like the real Mexicans, Paladudo Canyon. It's my cup. It's a little smaller cup. I brought this kind of coffee cup. I don't know what kind of coffee cup or tea cup you're drinking today. But we talk about Jesus here on this podcast, and we talk about the things that are biblical, that are, based on the Bible, and they're also practical things that we deal with in our day and age. So I just want to say that we're happy you're here. And if you're listening to our podcast and not on a live stream with us right now, then I pray that you are blessed with what you are hearing, because we don't do this for ourselves. We do this for the honor and glory of God. So without further ado, I see we got some people jumping in there. So say hello, everybody. Just go ahead and drop it in the, chat. Do you have your cup of coffee? What are you drinking? Sister Crystal, it's so good to see you. God bless you. Yes. Valani. All right. That's awesome. Okay. Praise God. So, I do want to get started by just first bringing in my special guest that I have today. Some of you are going to recognize him. He is absolutely an integral, an important part of our church, and he is one of our deacons, and he happens to be my brother. So it's Deacon Lorenzo Ramirez III, and I'm going to bring him on here so he can introduce himself. But for those of you, like I said, most of y'all know him, but I want him, for the sake of, we don't always just go live stream. We also do the audio recording of the podcast. So people from everywhere can tune in and listen. They won't see this live in the pictures and all that, but they will hear everything. And so I want to bring them on. Our Deacon Lorenzo, I'm going to bring you on, sir. You're live now. So welcome. Let me go to a different screen for you. Welcome aboard.
Hello. Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. I thank God for this opportunity. Obviously, thank Pastor. The Lord is great, even though this morning has been a little crazy for me and Pastor Bo.
It has.
You might see these cats jumping on me. I do ask that you bear with me, because they've been clingy this morning. I don't know what's been going on, but they've been trying to hide in the little pockets of me and everything. So if you see them, just don't mind them.
we're happy to have you. Today's session, we're going to be going back and forth. Might be a little bit different. We've been sharing testimonies there for a while, and we'll continue as the Lord impresses upon my heart to do so. But today, we want to take a different approach and have an interaction, a good, converse together, good conversation. But so, Deacon, real quick, so tell us about yourself. You're married. How long have you been serving Christ for?
Yes, sir. So I've been married for roughly about 8 years. Praise God. I've also been serving Christ since I was a kid. From the very beginning, I grew up inside of a pastoral home. I grew up inside of a pastor family because of my father, my grandpa, just a long line of Christian men and dedicated men of God. Praise God. I know when I was younger, I wasn't too into the faith of the Lord. I was sleeping, you know, young, sleeping on the pews. You really didn't catch the flame whenever you were younger. You kind of didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, the Lord touched my heart roughly around, I want to say, maybe when I was 10 years old. Lord started touching my heart. I started getting more invested into the things of the Lord. I got baptized around 12 years old, 14 years old, I think. That was roughly around the time. Great time. Praise God. Definitely something that I do not regret. It's a big staple part of my life. And, you know, serving the Lord is the most best thing you can do. If there's something
that I
can give as a word of advice,
it's that's right.
Seek God. You know,
yes.
Whether you feel like you're worthy, whether you feel like you should be there, whether somebody else feels like you should be there, it doesn't matter your circumstance. It doesn't matter who's around you. Seek God. That's the ultimate thing that I can tell you, that in all 26 years of my life of being with the Lord, there's never been a regret of having the Lord in my life. It has been
Amen.
The absolute best thing that I could ever have inside of my life. So truly something that I say is worth a try and worth a dedication.
Amen. Absolutely. And he, you know, our deacon has been absolutely a faithful follower since the day we opened up Jubilee's doors, you know, almost eight years ago. He has continued to be a great asset, a great support to the ministry that we have and what we're building in the kingdom of God for you know, for the Lord. And I just want to say it's good to have you on here. I know you will bring some great spirit inspiration, inspired, you know, just talking today. And so with that said, oh, let me ask you a question. What are you drinking? Are you drinking any coffee or tea today? What do you got going on?
I didn't pull out a coffee or a tea. I'm fasting today, Pastor.
I was about to tell you, how are you going to show up to a cup with Pastor without a cup of something?
I was going to ask coffee. You about it, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to not go with it.
Come on, Chad. Give him a hard time there. He showed up to a cup of, you know, a cup with Pastor without his coffee cup. Come on. You got to have the most important your y'all.
It's the Lord. No, okay. That's what I'm looking for.
yeah. I get you. No, brother, you continue giving to the Lord what is his. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's jump into the next portion of this. So what I want to talk to everybody today about is the importance of deliverance, what we call the children's bread. And, you know, it deliverance is something that you have two sides of the spectrum. You have the side, which is the body of Christ, church-wise, the body of Christ. You have two of them that believe, you have one side that believes in complete deliverance. Deliverance is being set free from demonic oppression, from demonic spirits, from spiritual beings. And all you have one side that completely believes in it. And then you have the other side that knows of it, but chooses not to believe it because, you know, they, for whatever reason, they don't believe that it's for our day. And, you know, people don't, you have the Holy Ghost. And if you have the Holy Ghost, you know, you don't have to worry about being, you know, demonized, and you have no worries. You just keep on going on. God will keep you free from all that. And so you have two spectrums. And what really happens is you have somewhat of a division into the Word of God, but you know, I want to bring forth Matthew chapter 15, verse 26. And he says, the word of God says, he was speaking to a Canaanite woman, and Jesus speaking, and he answered, he goes, but he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And when you think about that, you know, just to start this off, this conversation, Jesus was responding to this woman's plea to set her children free, her child free, her demon-possessed daughter. And he ends up basically telling her that this is the children's bread. And the children's bread is And at that time was for who his people were, the Jewish, the Israel people, the Israelites. And he would call them, and he called them his children. So what he was saying is that, hey, this is for the people who believe, and not for, and he actually referred to them as, a dog, right? To the people, to the culture there, because they weren't at that moment. He had not yet extended his grace and mercy to the Gentiles, which would be considered Gentiles. So I want to stop there, because here's, Jesus in the moment of saying, this demon-possessed daughter, this woman's asking for her, and he says, hey, this is the children's bread. Why would it be children's bread? Why would it be that important for him to mention that if it wasn't important in our lives today, right? So what do you, Brother Deacon Lorenzo there, what are you thinking so far as to what we're talking about? How do you, what do you know about the importance of deliverance? What have you learned? What has God shown you?
Well, importance of deliverance is huge. I mean, there's so much to it, and we've already seen it inside of the walk with Christ. Obviously, the Lord has shown it whenever he came down with the disciples. You had different instances, Mary being one of them, Mary Magdalene being one of them, where she had that exorcism happen, and it had to be Jesus himself who exorcised her, because there was just so many, demons. There was a legion, bound to her. She was just so constricted. And, I know it's controversial, but I love the series The Chosen. I love a lot of the things. I honestly love the way they displayed Mary's position, because you see her, she's doing these things, but it's not like it's her wanting to do these things. It's not like it's her making it a point, this is what I want to do with my life. This is the way I want to live my life. See the strain that it has on her heart, the strain that it has on her mind, how exhausting it is for her, and how much it's eating her alive. It's basically just making her deteriorate. And she's just broken, completely broken. And oh man, that episode, whenever the Lord sets her free, it made me cry. I was crying. Mm-hmm. I was in tears. It was beautiful. And that's something that deliverance is. A lot of people tend to make it like, oh, it's something scary. I'm afraid. I don't want to start crawling on the ground. There is certain deliverances that do end up in that, and that's just a demonic manifestation. But it's nothing scary. It's nothing scary. It's the process of removing yourself of something that shouldn't be there. And they'll sneak their way in. Demons are really good about finding ways to cling on to you, especially with how much trauma there is in life, how much death there is in life, how much turmoil or anxiety or temptation. There's so much that the world has to offer that clings to us, that it's like getting stains on your garments. It's there. It's gonna stay there until you actually get something to remove it. And that's what deliverance is. It's removing stains from your garment. It's removing stains from the clean white robe that the Lord has blessed us with the blood of Calvary.
And so let me back up one step. So the reason why you mentioned that the Chosen series can be a bit controversial, it's only for the sake of because it is still a series. It's not 100%, they're not taking every single word from the Bible and just acting it out. They're trying to build upon what could have been happening in that moment, what was so-and-so might have been thinking. So they add the movie aspect of it to give us more understanding of how that time was. That's the only reason why, like you said, it would be a little bit controversial, because it doesn't always portray the word-for-word scripture, but it is trying to do their best to get the point across as to what's happening that time. But, and here's the thing, though. It is the children's bread. And the reason why it was called the children's bread, because the word of God says that man shall not live on bread alone, right? But that every word that proceedeth out from the mouth of God, his bread is what sustains us. And deliverance is a beautiful thing, because the Lord expects and desires us to live in freedom. As a matter of fact, the word of God says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore has made you free, then you shall be free indeed. So, yes. You know, we are to be free, but what, you know, what is the deliverance portion of it? Well, we know that number one, this is what I have to tell some of my great friends and families and people that dispute about deliverance, that they don't think it's for today. I'm like, the word of God says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, if that doesn't tell you what we're up against, then I don't know what would, because the Bible is very clear. We are not fighting a physical battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And these spiritual battles, and we, you know, is the old age battle between good and evil. And guess who's in the middle? We are in the middle, right? So deliverance is something that we can't avoid. You can pretend all you want that it does not exist. You can pretend that demons don't exist. You can pretend that you cannot be demonized, which means to possess, to have a spirit in you. And you can go on all your whole life thinking that. But the reality is, the truth is, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We are up against spiritual rulers, against high powers of this world, against spiritual darkness. And Jesus has given us the children's bread. And when he refers to the children's bread, to set us free, to be free from. This is why that lady was like, that woman who was asking for her daughter, like, come on, like, give me this, you know, just yeah. Say it and it will be done. And then he tells her, no, it's not for, you know, the dogs to have. And then she comes back and says, but even the dogs would eat the crumbs. Like, she was desperate. She was at the point where she says, look, just give me a crumb. And I know that God, you will deliver my daughter. That was the children's bread. So deliverance is absolutely important. You can, we do, we are always, you know, up against influence of demonic oppression, up against, you know, what we allow in our homes, what we allow, you know, in our lives, in our daily lives. That is what influences us to do things that, you know, we shouldn't do. I'll just say this and I'll give it right back to you. You know, a murderer, people who do these horrendous crimes, they don't just sit there one day and think, I'm going to be the worst guy ever to go, and I'm just going to go do something horrendous and go take somebody's life in the most, you know, inhumane way. And those, you know, just because I want to, you don't have that. You have demonic spirits that are spirits of murder, that are spirits of homicide, and they go and they influence these people to do things that they would normally not do, but because they're open doors, they are used by the devil to accomplish his will, to accomplish what the devil is trying to do. So it's interesting, because the people that don't believe in deliverance don't put too much attention to it, because they don't think it's important. But we know, Deacon, that it's absolutely important, that the way to be free is you got to get some demons and devils cast out of you if it need be. And you got to take every thought captive in the name of Jesus and make it obedient.
Yes, honestly. And that's the thing. And one thing I want to point out is, a lot of people think because we have the Holy Spirit that we're unable to get have demons cling on to us. But that's a thing. You can have the Lord within you, and the Lord covers you with the inside, but you can still have demons cling on to you. You can still have demons attached to things that you're holding on to. You know, a lot of the times, and this is something that I've learned in my walk with the Lord, is a lot of the times those demons cling on to previous things that you're hurt from, whether it be unforgiveness that you haven't given to somebody.
Come on.
Maybe it's a love of a father that you never received. Look at all these fatherless children, you know, fatherless kids that are doing these terrible crimes or getting into drugs and selling drugs or getting into the gang life. It's not because that's who they are. It's not because that's who they were raised to be. Their mothers usually raise them great. It's just the fact that those demons are clinging on to that need for a father, and they're pushing them to other things. They're pulling them to other things. And that's the thing, is demons, think about it. If they're on your shoulders and they have control of both your shoulders, they're going to move you. They can use their body weight to sway you a different direction, to move you to somewhere else. Instead of staying on that straight path where you're trying to go, they can sway you off the path of the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's something that I want people to understand, is yes, having the Holy Spirit means that there is no demon that can completely control you. There is no demon that can take complete control over you. But it still doesn't mean that a demon can't grab a hold of you. It still doesn't mean that they can't cling to the things that you are holding on to. And a lot of times we don't realize that we have things that we're holding on to that these demons are allowed to hang on or allowed to cling to because it's within us and we held that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? When you mentioned that, we're talking in a spiritual sense, by the way, to all the audience out there. We don't physically feel those things or, you know, have those things that we are like, oh, I can feel this on my shoulder right here. It's not in that sense. We speak from a spiritual perspective because the word of God tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood in Ephesians 6:12. Why we even talk about this is because there are many things, like you said, Deacon, that we hold on to that. And I will be very honest. Unforgiveness is probably one of the most hardest spirits that seem to even hit the people in church, because we harbor things that we have not let God deal with. So we allow these spirits of unforgiveness to ruin our lives, to ruin our relationships, because deep down inside, we haven't forgiven somebody for what they've done to us. We haven't forgiven a person for, you know, how they made us feel. And I preach and I speak about this a lot. If you attend my church, for those of you who are watching, you'll know that this is not a new subject for us. We always refer to the spiritual world. And, you know, because the word of God is very clear, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual things that are out there. And I will tell you that unforgiveness, if you're out there and you're hearing me, unforgiveness is one of the ways that will keep you from your blessing and not allow the full hand of God to move in your life because you have unforgiveness. And unforgiveness can be as simple, I just didn't like the way a teacher or someone made me feel. My uncle made me feel this way, or my dad made me feel this way. Or it could be a tremendous traumatic experience that has validity that you actually went through, but because you've never surrendered that to God, He is not able to use your full potential and manifest His glory in your life because you have held on to the unforgiveness. You have held on to when it becomes bitterness, because it goes from being unforgiveness, then they, you know, goes to bitterness. And so you're like, I know, I can tell you straight up, these aren't your thoughts. These aren't your things you're thinking. I mean, there is a human aspect of it. There are some things that we, as a man thinketh, so is he in his heart, right? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There are thoughts that are ours. But a lot of these thoughts come with an introduction to temptation. And whether we bite on that temptation, whether we agree and align with the temptation of what's coming around, that determines what happens after that. So, you know, we're talking about this spiritual thing where, you know, deliverance is absolutely something that the body of Christ needs. It is a healthy thing. God refers to it as the children's bread. If it was anything other than that, it would not have been referred to it. God wants to, He symbolizes this with bread because He also refers to in the word of God that He is, you know, the bread. He is the way, the truth, and the life that no man would live without just bread alone, right? So it is a combination of healing. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to be delivered. He wants you to be set free from the opposition that has entangled you, right? The yoke. Yes. That's what Satan does. He yokes you back in. He throws stuff on you. And then a lot of times we bring things upon ourselves. We allow the enemy to, we give him permission to, like, because of unforgiveness. We give him permission because we hold things and resentment towards people. And so we allow legal rights, spiritually speaking, for them to come, and we invite them in. And then we're there like, Pastor, can you pray for me? Because I got this going on. Pastor, I have not been able to just break free. I don't know what's going on. I feel like God can't hear me. And it's not that God can't hear you. You just have not silenced the other voices that are there.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I honestly think when it comes to deliverance, obviously your spirit, the demon doesn't enter into your spirit and doesn't take over your spirit. No, your spirit is sanctified by the Lord. But the thing is that we're humans. We have hearts. We have emotions. And this is where these demons take roots. They take roots in our hearts. They take roots inside of our minds. See, it's not about the soul. It's not about the Holy Spirit in that aspect. It's about our fleshly part. If we were just the spirit with the Lord, then we would have no issue, or we wouldn't battle these emotions of anxiety. We wouldn't battle these emotions of lust or right. alcoholism. We wouldn't desire these things because we'd be pure spirit. It would,
that's right.
It would have no meaning to us. But the thing is that we are flesh. We are made flesh. And that's what makes us so unique in God's eyes, is because we were made flesh and we have the ability to choose the Lord.
Come on.
He gave us that. And this is what makes
that free will.
It's that love that the Lord's like, these people have to truly love me in order to serve me. They have to truly want me in order to move forward with me and to make that connection. It has to be their choice.
Yes.
And that's what makes the connection with the Lord so beautiful, is that we get to choose that. It's not forced on you. And I'm sorry if you've been in a place where you've been forced or you felt like you're forced or you felt like it was something shoved down your throat. I guarantee you that's not the Lord's intention.
Come on.
I guarantee you that's not what the Lord means for you. I guarantee you that the Lord wants a loving connection and wants you alone, just wants to know you, wants to know everything about you from your own words, not from what he already knows. It's like reading about somebody on a paper and you never meet them in person. You know, you'll never truly get to know them with that connection and know, oh, I know that person. You know, the way that person smiles, the way that person laughs, the way that person talks. Oh, I love the way that person acts. Like, it's just the charisma about him. You know, this is what the Lord wants. He wants that one-on-one connection.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing. When those demons come in, they fill your heart. They fill up your heart. They fill up your mind with all these different things. And that's why they tell you, once you get delivered, you got to be able to seek the Lord. You have to fill that hole. You have to fill that part in your life. Because if not, if you get delivered and go back and you just go about your way, guess what? You have an empty and open vessel, not only for just the demon that you had before, but for more demons, for more problems, because now it's more clear. Now it's more open because the Lord cleaned it for you, but you didn't fill it with things that kept it clean. You didn't fill it with things
that's that right. You're talking about the temple, filling your temple, because yes, we are exactly. a living temple to God. We are a temple. Yes. And I think, you know, and I think we need to take this one back, and we'll come back on another session and break it down. Because I think what people don't understand is when you have the people that, you know, the other side that I talk about that are like, you know what, you can't be demon possessed. There's no way, you know, blah, blah, blah. Christians can't be possessed. They have the Holy Ghost and all. I think they don't understand the way the courts, the temple courts work. Back in the, you know what I mean? Like
inner sanctum and the
holy, holy of the holy of holies, the inner courts, there are different, and it signifies the Lord allowed it to be, you know, he gave us that in the Old Testament to signify there were certain parts that only, you know, God's presence would deal with, you know, I mean, dwelt in there. And then the priests would be able to enter into the next one. And then on the outer courts is where most everybody hung out. And that is, you know, the understanding those layers of the courts and the tabernacle, that's what I was trying to say, the holy tabernacle, is then you begin to understand that, of course, it's not full possession because only God dwells there in that moment. But on the outer courts, on the area where there is the ability to think, the soul, the mind, like you said, the heart, the actions of the flesh, that is where these demons dwell, because it is all free will based upon. It is no longer, you know, Christ owns that. Christ has given us the ability to have free will. So in that free will moment, we choose to align to what? We align to the word of God. We align to the word of God, or we align and agree with what the enemy has put there. And then we take action, right? Because the sin first develops, you know, in the mind and in the heart, and then it, you know, we act upon it at that point. So it's always going to start with thoughts, feelings. Nice. And then, you know, so I think that those who don't believe that, I think they don't really quite understand the different levels of the tabernacle and the way it worked back, you know, because you can relate that back to how it works in our bodies. We are mind, soul, and spirit, you know, where the Lord is in complete control of our soul when we give our souls to him and our spirit to him, right? And then on the outside, we are still human though. We're still human. We still have emotions. We still get upset. Mm-hmm. You know, how is it that we get upset? How is it that we sin? Influenced. How do we sin, but yet have the Holy Ghost? You know,
that's right. That's
think
right.
about that. Right. So this is, these are things, but we're talking about this. You want to say something real quick, go for it. And we're going to go to something else real quick.
Yes. I want to touch up real quick on it too. And that's whenever we say that it's because of the fact that, you know, your flesh is separate from your spirit. You know, it's, why do you think it's that we say you have to constantly die to your flesh, or die to your spirit? That's because your flesh is constantly battling your spirit. That's just a given. Our flesh is constantly battling our spirit. And I know that sounds weird to people who don't understand that, but what it means is, like, for example, all these different things that you're facing, whether it be anxiety, whether it be worry, I mean, think about it. On a constant daily basis, you're worrying about something, you're stressing, you know, you're frustrated on certain things.
Come on. But
you feel this peace inside of you, or you feel this voice saying it's okay, or you always feel something within you that's telling you, don't worry, it's gonna be fine. Trust me, you know, that's your spirit, that's the Lord telling you and letting you know, hey, don't worry, you're going to be okay. But your flesh is the thing that overexerts with worry, overexerts with thinking, overexerts with desire, you know. And that's one thing that I want people to understand is that whenever you have a demon that possesses you, it's not tarnishing your spirit. It's not going to destroy your spirit, or it's not going to rip apart your spirit or leave stains on your spirit. That's not what it does. It affects you, your mind, it affects your heart, it affects the way you walk, the way you talk. That's why it says inside his word that out of the heart,
yes,
from the inside of a person, out of the heart, that's what flows.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the truth of the man flows from. It, the fruits, it flows from your heart, from deep within. And that's where those demons try to take anchor and try to take control over. Because if they can control your heart, guess what the world loves to say? Follow your heart. You know, follow where your heart leads you. Just listen to your heart.
Guess absolutely. What?
Those spirits love to use your heart, you know, love to use the feelings you have. Oh, you know, someone hurt me, so I deserve to be angry with them.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve to be mad. They're the ones that did me wrong. But yet, it doesn't help you none. It doesn't do nothing for you. It just stresses you out and leaves you in this place of turmoil.
That's so right.
Honestly, it's just you got to learn the difference. That's the hardest part, I believe.
And, you know, you mentioned something that I wanted to bring up. I thought about this. I found this, I you know, came across it about scripture, Matthew 15, 18 through 20. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds, the word of God says this, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. What Jesus was saying is that these, everything that you have aligned to that is not of God will come from your heart. And you know that whole follow your heart thing, that is not a biblical thing.
Yes,
the word of God refers to follow Jesus. Follow his way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That whole follow your heart thing is from Satan himself in the world. Yeah, I get it. You're led by your heart because you love people or you love somebody, but your heart can be deceitful. As we just read, out of your same heart that worships God and gives God glory, you can be defiled in so many ways by what you allow to happen. So deliverance is cleaning that up. Is God getting that and saying, are you ready to be done with that? Are you ready to get rid of that? Are you ready to be set free? Because I have been, you know, he has designed us to be free. Mm-hmm. Yes, we live in a world of spiritual temptation. We live in a world of sin. We're going to encounter so many things that we got to continually be washed, continually be regenerated in a sense where we go to the Lord, allow him to filter out everything that's not our thoughts, everything that's not from what should be ours. And we allow him to deliver us. And that's what deliverance is. It is being set free from spiritual and demonic oppression that we have basically allowed to come around. So, all right, well, let's pause there. And, you know, I always do this on our streams. So, by the way, the last couple of times that We did the raffle. Alyssa, my daughter, has won. So I didn't put that up on the Instagram, but she had won. I had the, you know, the video and everything, but she, I don't know, she kept winning. I thought she traded with the, with our good friends, the Lujanos or something, but because they're always winning. But you know what time it is, though. What we're going to do is we're going to drop coffee and Jesus in the chat. Hopefully this is not too loud. Yeah. So let me just get up this thing.
I think she's hacking, bro. I think that's what's going on. She's our IT person.
Somebody's hacking the game. If you haven't already, throw it in the chat there for a chance to win either a cup of coffee or a cup of tea sponsored by me. Yes. I will cover your cup of coffee. I'll cover your cup of tea with a gift card. Usually it's going to either be Starbucks or Dutch Bros. But yeah, drop it in the chat if you want to get entered in to win coffee and Jesus. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. If you are just following, throw it in the chat before I take it away. Coffee and Jesus, it only works when you do it live. Coffee and Jesus, that's what we're talking about today. Got my little coffee cup here, y'all. It says y'all, like the Texan way to do it. Say y'all. Follow Doodle Canyon, Texas. That's up there in Amarillo, about up there in that area of Amarillo, Texas. In the Texas, you know, you got to put that little twang on it. In the desert, man. Getting in barbecues. You got to put that in there. All right. We're going to take away that screen there, and we're going to move into just go over, you know, talking to everybody as to what we've been talking about. So if you're just tuning in, we have been speaking about deliverance. We've been speaking about what Jesus referred to as the children's bread. And this is something that, depending on what circle you're in, you might have heard of already of it. There's a lot of videos out there, you know, a lot of good, strong leaders that have had much experience, and they've put out some videos. And so I encourage you to look for it. But if you are feeling, you know, and you're watching and you're not a believer in Christ, or you're like, man, there's a lot of things I need to be, you know, I need to change and all that, we would love to talk to you. We would love to explain to you how it works and how deliverance would work for a believer. You know, once you believe upon that name of Jesus and you begin to follow him, and, you know, you become a part of his body through baptism and in the name of Jesus Christ, then, you know, hey, we want to talk to you, because you don't have to live the way you're living. And if you already are in Christ and you've been experiencing a lot, then it's time to come get a spiritual, I was going to say a car wash, but it's not that simple. But I'm saying, you know, you get what I'm saying? Like, you come so God can set you free. And so we've been speaking about deliverance.
Yeah, cleaning.
That's right. A cleaning. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't even want to say that, because you have the people that do they call them in Spanish doing limpias. They call them cleanings. Yeah, you know, right. They use witchcraft and they try to make it sound like. Absolutely. Yeah. These former traditional women would do with eggs, and they clean and all. So this is not a clean. This is a transformation. Let's put it that way, Deacon, right? It's a transformation. Yeah, you want a transformation in your life? Come to Jesus. Let him deliver you and remove all of that filth that the enemy has placed inside of you and upon you, and God will set you free. And that is a beautiful thing. That is completely free. All you have to do is call upon that name of Jesus. Believe upon his name. Believe upon what he can do. And he will do it. I have been testimony of that. There are many things in my life that he had to deliver me from. There are so many things that I dealt with in my life and my past that when I didn't even realize, like, I had been in church for my entire life. Yeah. And I was like, you know, a young high schooler, and around that time, maybe middle schooler. Probably in between that, somewhere in those years. And I got to say that God had to do a lot in me and really deliver me from some things that I just could not break free from. you know, and Deacon, we talked about that, you know, in our chat yesterday. We were talking about how to stay free, how to be set free. So, you know, we know that deliverance sets us free, right? We know that that's what it is, but how do we overcome that? How do we grapple with, you know, the sin, you know, and how do we make it through these moments where sometimes we have these addictions and behind an addiction is a spirit. And I don't want you to go too deep into what, you know, anything like that, but I want you to, you know, join me with this conversation because I want to move into this part. Deliverance is what sets you free. Staying free, meaning you have to make better choices. You have to be careful with what you allow inside of your home, inside of your spiritual temple. For we are, we are a living sacrifice, right? We are a living sacrifice. The Word of God says that we are His, the Holy Ghost. You know, we are a temple of God. We are the temple. You know, and so we have to ensure that our temple remains clean, right? We have to make sure that our temple is what stays clean. And how do we do that? Right. So, why don't you share what the Lord has put in your heart, just regarding what you what we were talking about right here?
Amen. Well, after deliverance, you got to walk in deliverance. And for people who don't understand what that means, it's keeping yourself aligned with God. And one of the biggest things I will tell you is keep pushing towards God. That's the main thing, is stay connected. Even if you feel like you've slipped up, even if you feel like you've fallen back into it, or you fell backwards, keep going to God. Don't allow the devil to dilute your mind and make you think that, oh, you messed up, now you're not worthy to keep to follow God, now you're not worthy to pray to Him, you're not worthy to talk to Him. No, God is the only way you can fight this off. God is the only way you can win. You can't do it by your own strength. One thing I will tell you is that trying to do it on your own, you're not going to succeed. I can tell you that from experience. I've tried fighting my addictions on my own, and guess what? I winded up back in the same place, if not worse, even with me, even more problems, even more mental issues. But it's when I sought God and when I trusted in God that I was able to keep myself from these things, that I was able to keep myself clean, to steer myself in the right direction. And do not allow yourself to be isolated. That's one thing that the devil loves to do. Don't allow yourself to feel,
oh, come on now,
to be overcome by the shame, to where you're afraid to talk to somebody. Mm-hmm. So you're afraid to outreach to that godly person that you know.
Come on.
Oh, they're going to be disappointed in me. They're going to shun me, or they're going to outcast me. If that's a true man of God, they will not come at you in that light. They will not come at you with that purpose. They will come at you and look to you.
And, yeah, let me jump in on this one, Deacon, because I got to say, you're absolutely right. I've been preaching about this because it's so, I believe in, and it's just so powerful. This is powerful because the reality is that depression, loneliness, isolation, that is 100% a tool of the devil. He will use that. He will take you away from your church family, take you away from your family. He'll put you in a corner, keep you there like you're in timeout, basically. But he never takes you out of timeout because that's where he desires you to be. And he does this through everything that, you know, that you experience. He makes you feel like you're the only one. He makes you feel that you can't come back. Right. You can't be forgiven. You can't be redeemed. That God did not die on the cross for you. It doesn't matter because it doesn't cover you. And that's a lie. And that's what happens to a lot of our people in the church, is in the body of Christ. They have what we call church hurt, right? That's right. Pastor Amira said it right. The enemy loves to attack, to isolate so he can prey, you know, like a prey would. What is it that when a lion goes out there and chases after a gazelle, what's going on, right? They isolate the weakest one, and then they attack it, and then they devour it. Well, that's the way the Word of God says Satan is. The Word actually says Satan is like, he's not a roaring lion, but he's like, he's a copycat version. He's like a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom to devour. In other words, he's looking for the weak ones that are not connected to a local church, that are not plugged into a spiritual, you know, place where they're going to be uplifted and built, and the church and the body of Christ can stand in prayer with people. So what happens is we become isolated. We don't want to be around people. We want to separate. We want to stay in our own lives. We don't want to go to church anymore because It makes us feel, right. You know, it convicts us and it makes us feel bad for what we want to enjoy the pleasures of doing. And mm-hmm. and so we don't. So we become right. that gazelle. We become that animal that's out there. And Satan's like, that's what I want. I want to isolate him. I want him to hurt, to move far away as if they can. And as they move far away as they can, then I begin to attack him. And then what happens eventually, he devours them, right? The lion will separate them and attack. And then they all go and eat and feast. Well,
you know, Pastor?
Go ahead.
One thing I want to emphasize on, and the gazelle is a good point, but I want to even make an even better point, is the lion. Think about it. What is the lion's biggest strength? It's his pride. It's the group that he's in, you know.
The female lions, really.
He has. And whenever the brotherhood, but whenever he's in that pride, another alpha male comes and challenges him. And let's say he loses. What happens? He gets outcasted. He gets isolated. And guess what? He can't eat. He has trouble hunting. He has trouble getting food. He has trouble living. He has trouble fighting off things. He's more susceptible to getting attacked by different animals, and hyenas even go and attack them.
Come on.
You know, before they wouldn't even mess with them. Why? Because he had mm-hmm. a community. He had a
That's right. Come on.
He had people, other lions and lionesses. He had lionesses surrounding him, you know. And that's something that I think is important, is even one of the strongest animals inside of the jungle, inside of the, what would it be called, Pastor? Is it the jungle? No, I don't think it's the jungle, right?
You mean the safari? Yeah, the Serengeti, the African lands, yeah.
I mean, they call the lion the king of the jungle, so we'll just go with that, you know. But he's the king. He's known for being the most powerful predator out there. But
yep, apex predator.
His pride, he has nothing. Without his pride, he's alone. And you think that the devil is by himself? No, the mm-hmm. devil has mm-hmm. his demons. The devil has his forces. Mm-hmm. He has his own pride. And guess what? When you're alone, his whole pride is picking you
up. Come on.
His
Come
whole
on.
Pride is haunting you. One's nipping one way, one's nipping another way, and they're setting you up to fall right in front of the like a lion, because he's
right.
like a lion. He's
not Come a lion. On. That's
but
right.
You fall right into the clutches of the devil.
That's
and
right.
That's what they do. They set you up for that.
Yeah, and, you know, we talk about the like a lion because there's only one true lion, and yes. that is the Lion of Judah. And that is the God mm-hmm. that we serve, Jesus Christ. And we serve him because he is the lion above all lions that ever existed.
Yes.
And I will say, you know, we're talking about this. This is important for y'all that are watching, because you need to be connected to a church community that believes in deliverance, that believes in mm-hmm. and how to cover you with prayer, how to, you know, that believes in the spiritual realm, period, because there's a lot of churches out here, and I'm not here to talk bad about churches, but I'm here to expose the works of darkness by That's exposing right. the fruit, right? And I will tell you, a lot of these places don't have the fruit that, you know, they give you the feel. I preach about this a lot. You hear this, Deacon. They mm-hmm. preach the good news message. They preach the polished message, but they don't teach the principles of, hey, sometimes when you stray from the group and you're out there alone, you're isolated and you're being attacked. And well, how do you defend yourself? You got to get back to the pack. Like you said, right. you got to get back to the right. pride, the pride of the pack, the you know, the lionesses and the lions. And we're using these metaphors, but the idea is that, you know, church community, when you find a church, when you find a group of believers that believe, that understand the spiritual realm, you are going to be that much better prepared, because we are going to teach you. We're going to teach you how to recognize strategy that the enemy uses from a spiritual standpoint versus giving you what I call a feel-good message. We can sit here all day and motivate you to be a better person. But at the end of the day, when you're in your deepest depression, motivation's only going to go so far. You're going to need to get back out. You're going to need to fight back and fight back with the word of God and realize what you're fighting against. And if you, all you've ever known is just the goodness of everything and the sweetness of everything, then you're going to struggle, because you're going to be like, well, how do I love a demon to death to get it out of me? You can't love a demon to death to get it out of you. You have to cast that out in the name of Jesus Christ, the way the word commands, and remove it from your life so that you can be free. And that is something that we always, you know, we seem to encounter Matt, this is such a good conversation. I didn't even realize it's already, you know, we're like 3 minutes till 10.
Yeah, we are.
So, but we'll go. We're going to go, for those of you who can, go with us. We'll go another 10 more minutes because we did start a bit delayed. Yeah. But yeah, I do want to say this, that, you know, why are we talking about this? You know, I always bring it back from a teacher perspective. Why are we even discussing this? Because this is something that many places don't talk about. They don't teach about. And it's just as important, because Jesus, if he didn't care about deliverance, if he didn't care about setting people free, he wouldn't have given us the examples in the Bible when he spent most of his ministry healing people, casting out, rebuking infirmity, you know, removing infirmities, sicknesses, diseases, possessed people. You know, he dealt with these things on a daily basis. They were, and back in the days of Jesus, these were normal things to people. They didn't even freak out like they do today. Like, today, you can't even get, like, there are some people that you can't even get to go near the word deliverance, because they're like, I don't deal with that stuff. That's the hocus pocus stuff. Yep. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the hocus pocus magic stuff. I don't deal with that stuff. That's not for me. That's for someone else. No, that is absolutely for you, because that tells me that you have a spirit of fear, which comes from the devil, that has dwelt inside of you, that's beginning to take root, that you need to uproot and understand that you have authority as a believer. If you are a believer in the name of Jesus, if you're a believer in Christ, then you have the authority to remove whatever's in your life, right?
And that's one thing that I wanted to touch up on is, notice how the devil does it. You know, one of the most impactful places, the place where you do your best work, is isolated with God. It's consecrated with God. You and God, that's your prayer closet, is like the most on fire place that you can be. Like that's where you'll feel probably the most one-to-one connection with God that you can feel. And guess what the devil does? The devil twists it. Now he's like, oh, now you can't come to God. Now you can't come to anybody. You gotta get away from everybody. Don't even show your face, because you can't be there. What if they find out? What if they know? Imagine what they say to you. Imagine what they look at you. Imagine, you know, all the good works you did, all the person you were. Guess what? You're not that person anymore because of what you did. Now you're gonna be looked at different. And that's not the case. That's not the case. Granted, there will be select few. Unfortunately, we do have free will, and there will be people who will look at you wrong, or who have shunned you. Maybe there are people in this live feed that have been shunned. You know, they went to a church, they went to a certain person that was a godly man, and they didn't handle it correctly. They shunned you. They chastised you. You know, they got angry with you and upset with you, and they treated you wrong. But that's not what the Lord is. That's not what the Lord will do for you. The Lord will set you free. And the devil loves to isolate you, loves to keep you away from a community of followers, because he knows that if you're together in one accord,
come on,
you're a moving force.
Yes.
That's what makes a military so strong, is moving in one accord, is moving as one unit, multiple bodies of people moving for one objective. And I think that's the important part, is make sure you get connected to some church, a church that knows and believes in deliverance, a church that believes in the Holy Spirit, because there are churches that don't believe that. Churches that believe in these things, because they are the ones that will keep you walking right. They're the ones that will help you from falling and from going astray. Accountability
leaders. Yeah, you reminded me when you said something about, Ecclesiastes 4:12 says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. That the wiseness of that scripture is, the wisdom is coming, is that, hey, one or two, you know, one, you're isolated. Two, you're okay, you're strong. But you go into three strands right there, that's strong. You can't break it that easy. So it's important that if you have not been in church, or you are in church, or get back to the community of God, get back to, you know, where God can begin to work inside of you. God can begin to use people. Don't fall into the shame, and, you know, don't let shame, don't let failure, don't let that keep you away from the people that can help you, because that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to get you to where you are feeling shameful, that you can't come back, that you've done this, you've done that. you know, people are going to look at you. And yes, we're all, like you said, Deacon, we're always going to have those people that are the critics that are not spiritual people. They're going to look at you and say, well, weren't you the one that just did that? Yeah, I used to do that. I no longer do that. I no longer live that way. It's like the apostle said, it is no longer I who live for myself. I live for him. I live for Christ. I die for Christ daily. I take up my cross daily. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And I'm encouraging you out there, if you need help, get the help, get the spiritual help you need. We are here. You want to reach out to us. We believe in deliverance. We believe in the power of our Almighty God. He is who sets us free. It's not us, not our power. It's by his power, by his might, that, you know, that the demons are at his name, or they tremble and they have to flee. So, Deacon, I appreciate you being on our podcast today. You have been awesome, man. I want to say that, you know, I love you. We'll see you soon, God willing. And once again, anything you want to say before you leave?
I just want to thank you for this time, Pastor. I want to praise God for this opportunity. And I pray that everybody who is listening, reach out to us. If you don't have a church, you don't have a home church, talk to us. You know, we can be that place for you. We're welcoming, and we can give you a place of community. And thank you for listening.
Amen. All right. Well, we're going to have to bring you back for another show. I believe, you know, just by what the Lord had done today, I think we had a very good, productive conversation. So God bless you, Deacon. Thank you for tuning in. All right. So, you know, I'm going to end this off here. That's why I let him go. I'm going to end this off with just some final words for you. And I actually want you to know that the Lord desires you to be free, no matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you're going through right now. Try Jesus. Give it to him. Let him work in you. Let it, just trust him. It is the best decision that you will ever make. There's nothing that you can do that will help you get out of your mess until you try and allow Jesus. You have free will. He doesn't force it upon you. He doesn't force himself upon you. You have the ability to be set free. You can be free from whatever you are struggling with if you call upon that name of Jesus and trust in his name. So right there where you're at, as we come to a close, why don't you just bow? If you can just pray with me. Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for today. I thank you for the conversation. Lord, I know that you have brought this conversation up because it is something important, God. This isn't a religious thing. This isn't a legalistic thing, Lord. This is a complete Bible thing. And I pray, God, that your spirit would go and move, that it would transcend all technology today. That it would move in the hearts of those that are listening, even the Christians, even the ones that have been in Christ for so long, God, that you would touch their hearts and let them and reveal to them, God, where there may be potential hidden areas that they've not surrendered to you, that you would go, Lord, and that you would search their hearts and begin to touch their hearts to bring it forth to you, God, so that you could set them free, Lord. I pray for every non-believer, God, those that have not yet experienced you, God. I pray that the listener on the other end, that the person viewing on the other end that has not yet called upon your name will begin to feel the tug, God, will begin to feel your calling upon their life in Jesus' name, that they would accept what you have given them, that they would be fulfilled in the commandment of the baptism, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you would move tremendously through this podcast, that you would bless this podcast always, Lord. Keep it going. Give us the words that you desire, the topics you desire that you want us to talk about. And I thank you for every listener and every viewer. I pray that they would be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus going forward, going wherever they go, that the favor of God would fall upon each of you and that you have a blessed Saturday. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless y'all. And I'll see y'all next Saturday.